particularly Rav Krakowski and Rav Aron and Rav Bader and all my friends from Netiv Aryeh. In my spare time, I'm in Netiv Aryeh in Yerushalayim. Usually when I speak, people only remember my jokes and my stories. So they say, Lo amedu sheker ela ha-maisa. So I'll start off with a maisa. There was a maisa of a Jew back in Poland that, we'll call it 150 years ago. I don't know if it's a true story, so we can just make up how many years ago it was. About 150 years ago. And he was a good faithful Jew. Every month he would pay his rent. And then one time, he business got a little rough, a little bit of a recession. He had invested, it's interesting, I recently read a maisa from Yitzhak Zilberstein about a guy who gave his neighbor the key, and he went to Chutz La'aretz and he told him not to give the key to anybody. And this neighbor, one day the guys came with some beds, and he said, I want to deliver a bed. So he said, no, he told me not to give the key to anybody, I can't let you in. He said, no, please, just for a second. Anyway, to make a long story short, they convinced him to let him in for a second. He said, you watch us. He watched them, and then later on that night, they came back, and then they said, no, we brought the wrong bed, we were supposed to bring the blue bed, we brought the white bed. Anyway, to make this the longer story shorter, so when the guy came back, he said, I knew what happened. He said, well, some guys came with your bed. Other than that, I didn't let anybody in. He said, my bed? He said, yeah, your bed. He said, I didn't order any bed. So the guy runs into his house, he opens up his safe, and then he drops in a dead faint. They had taken $100,000 out of his safe. What happened? When they came in, they brought a guy in the bottom of the bed, in the drawer. And they were hiding him. And then at night, they came to pick him up, and they just took out the old bed, and they brought in a new bed, and they walked away with his $100,000. So I said, if it was me, I'm not so stupid. If I had an extra, if I had big money, I would have given it to some big investor in America who promises you dividends, and I know that my money is safe. That's why I'm not stupid. I'm smart. I know to invest my money. Anyway, so we're back to our financial times are rough. So financial times are rough in Poland. Anyway, he goes to this, he keeps paying his rent every month. Rent's a schar dira. One month, things are up, he can't pay anymore. So what's the guy going to do if he doesn't pay his rent? What's Ivan going to do? Ivan's going to make his brains into brain soup. So what does he do? He decides that he has to take off, run away. So he gathers his family together. He says, hey, my last silt, we have no more money, we have to pay rent. So they pack their bags, they order a horse and buggy comes, and they're on their way. All of a sudden, Ivan walks by, and he sees this guy leaving. He says, Moishi, where are you going? So he said, Ivan, it's a holiday. We're going away for the holiday. He said, a holiday? A holiday? It was like right in the middle of the winter. He said, what holiday is it? I've heard of Chag Zman Cheruseinu, and Chag Zman Matan Toreseinu, and Chag Zman Simchaseinu. I've heard of what holiday is this? He said, no. This is a special holiday. It's called Chag Zman Pleitaseinu. Chag Zman Pleitaseinu. He says, oh, that's an interesting holiday. Like, what's it about? He goes, well, the other holidays have a set time, and Chag Zman Pleitaseinu, the holiday of our, well, you can translate for him, but we know it means the holiday of our escape. Chag Zman Pleitaseinu, everybody has their own Chag. My Chag Zman Pleitaseinu is today. And Shloimi down the street, his Chag Zman Pleitaseinu is going to be in 2 months from now. And Yitzi on the other side of the street is going to be in 6 months from now. So everybody has their own Chag Zman Pleitaseinu. So that was that story. So what's the Nimshal? The Nimshal is that I live in the old city, but I usually don't get out of the old city, so it's just beautiful to travel Eretz Yisrael a little bit, and to come here, and to know that Amir Tisham, we have no more Chag Zman Pleitaseinus, we're in Eretz Yisrael, we're Zelche, and we can just we're here geographically, we just wait for Mashiach to come, and then we'll have the Shleimus, but Baruch Hashem, at least we're in the right place. So what I wanted to talk about is Eretz Yisrael. Actually, there's an interesting Yisod in Avnei Nezer and other places that they say that Eretz Yisrael is the place that's mechaber all the Jews. The only place that the Jews really are considered one, it's already alluded to in the Gemara, is in Eretz Yisrael. That's what creates us as an Achdus. So I wanted to talk about the connection between Pesach and Achdus. We know that the Shoresh of Golas Mitzrayim was the one day the Mitzri was hitting the Ivri, and Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to him, and he kills him. And then the next day, there's an Ivri hitting another Ivri, Dustin and Avirim. Whenever there's bad stuff going on, you always know it's Dustin and Avirim. So Dustin and Avirim are hitting each other, Dustin's hitting Avirim, and he says, oh, what are you doing? He says, what, are you going to kill me like you killed the Mitzri? So what was Moshe's response? Achei noda davar. What is Achei noda davar? So if you would read the pasuk without Rashi, you would say, now it's known that I killed the Mitzri. So what does Rashi say? Everyone knows, Lashon Hara. That because of Lashon Hara, Achei noda davar. Now it's known why we're in Galus. Why are we in Galus? We're in Galus because it's Lashon Hara. Because people are speaking about each other. That's the Galus. That's one shorish of Galus Mitzrayim we know is the Lashon Hara, which obviously brings payroll, separates between people. And also, We know that where did everything begin? It all began with Yosef and his brothers. So however you touch up the story, it still doesn't end up so nice. So Yosef and his brothers, it doesn't say in the pasuk that they loved each other. So let's just say that there was some sort of kilkul there, there was some sort of pagam, and eventually that's what led them to Mitzrayim, and we have to be metaken that pagam. So it's actually interesting. I heard many, many years ago on an audio tape from Rabbi Isaac Bernstein from England. If anybody ever heard of him, he was a great speaker. So he said that there's a Gemara in Pesachim. I mean, not only he said the Gemara in Pesachim, the Gemara in Pesachim even before he said it. But when you say something with an English accent, it's so much more convincing. So there's a Gemara in Pesachim that says that how they used to carry the Korban Pesach. They used to carry the Korban Pesach like a Arab merchant. So, I don't know, however an Arab merchant would carry his stuff, that's it. So you look at the Gemara, you say Beseder, it's like the end of the Perek, you know, you're just happy to say the Hajr and Alach, and you're ready on to the next one. But what's the Gemara trying to tell you? So it could be the Gemara's being Merames, he said in the name of somebody, that the Sholish of the Golas was the story between Yosef and his brothers. So when we have the Korban Pesach, we have to be misaking that. So therefore we carry it, because Yosef's brothers sold him to Yishmael, right? So Yishmaelim, they came, Ajanim, Yishmaelim. So in order to be metaken, the selling of the Yosef to the Yishmaelim, so we carry our Korban Pesach like an Arab merchant, like a Taya Yishmael, I think it's Lashon of the Gemara, Taya Aravi. So that's the tikkun. The tikkun is that we bring the Korban Pesach, and the Korban Pesach is supposed to bring Achdus. So if the Sholesh is a lack of Achdus, then the tikkun is Achdus. So there are many, many halachas in Korban Pesach which reflect this Achdus. For example, we see there's a halacha that there's not allowed to be a mechitza when you eat the Korban Pesach. There's an arad, paskin la halacha, when there's a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, there's a shuv from Moshe Feinstein in the Igros Moshe, where somebody asked him if you have to have a mechitza to simcha. So I'm not going to come to Moshe Matisyahu and tell you not to have mechitzas at simchas. I personally, when I make a simcha, I have a mechitza. As a matter of fact, when I really want to get firm, I tell my wife and the ladies to go into the kitchen. But they don't like that. But the maitza, so he's asked, should you have mixed eating or shouldn't you? So he brings a raya. It's interesting. The tshuva isn't about mixed eating. The tshuva is about something else, but at the very end. And if I remember correctly, so many years ago, but he brings a raya from this halacha in the Rambam. That the Rambam says that when you eat the Korban Pesach, there can't be a mechitza. Which means that they would eat it without. So obviously, he didn't say hiddur or whatever it is, but he said, me'ikra din, you see that they would eat the meal together. So why can't there be a mechitza when you eat the Korban Pesach? What's the idea? The idea is there can't be a mechitza between men and men, there can't be a mechitza between everybody. Everybody has to be seeing each other. Because when we eat the Korban Pesach, we want there to be achdus. So in order for there to be achdus, we can't have mechitzas. So that's one halacha. There's another halacha, it says in the Gemara, that ein shochtan es ha-pesach ala yachid. And then Rabbi Yossi comes, and it says, Rabbi Yossi is matir. He says, you're allowed to shech the Korban Pesach ala yachid. Which means that when you shech the Korban Pesach, it has to be for a group. You're not allowed to do it for yourself. And the second opinion says that you're allowed to shech the Korban Pesach ala yachid. However, it's even according to that opinion, it's preferable not to. And that's how the Rambam paskins. The Rambam says that when you shech the Korban Pesach, you have to shech the Korban Pesach for a group. Even though me'ikra din, it's mudra v'shchol ala yachid, you're allowed to do it for one person. But that's not the ideal. The ideal of the Korban Pesach is that the Korban Pesach is supposed to be for a tzibur. So again, when we have this tzibur, so the tzibur is supposed to create a sense of community. It's actually an interesting lashon in the Gemara. It says in the Gemara that Pesach bo b'knufya. What's the lashon? That holil da'asya, Pesach, asya b'knufya, k'korban tzibur dami. Right, where's that Gemara? In Pesachim. No, it's in Yuma. I don't know what it's doing in Yuma. Sometimes the last place you would expect it. Like Mordechai in the Torah Minayin. You wouldn't expect, Moshe in the Torah Minayin. A, you wouldn't expect the Gemara to ask where you see Moshe in the Torah. And B, you wouldn't expect it to be the end of Chulin. Anyway, so the Gemara says in Yuma that Pesach is barbecue. It's not a Korban Sibur, it's a Korban Yachid. But since Asi B'Knufya, it comes as a group, it's a Korban Sibur Dami. So it's like a Korban Sibur. So what's this idea of Baba Knufya? So Rav Hutner, as Pachad Yitzchak, explains very beautifully. He says there are two ways of counting something. Sometimes you have one totality, and then from that, you break it up into little pieces. Somebody told me, I don't want to say his name, I don't know if he wants me to publicize this in his name, but somebody told me that he took his wife once to a very famous Rosh Yeshiva, who is a big Lamdan. So the Rosh Yeshiva, his wife was wearing this dress, so the Rosh Yeshiva goes up to her, and he says, tell me something. Is that one dress that was cut up into many small pieces and then sewn together? Or was it did it start off as many small pieces that were sewn together? Did it start off as one, and then they cut it up, and then they put it back together? Or did it start off as many small pieces, which afterwards they put together? That was his chakir and her dress. So it's the same way when you count somebody. There are two ways of counting. You can count trying to get, let's say you go to the fruit store. I'm told that everybody here goes to Kiryat Sefer for shopping. So you're in Kiryat Sefer, and you want to buy 17 tomatoes. Why do you want to buy 17? Because you want the tomatoes to be tov, and tov is gematria 17. So you have, you buy 17 tomatoes. So what do you want to do? You want to know how many tomatoes is. You count 1, 2, 3, 4. Shia, Samecha, right? So it depends how firm you are. Some really firm people count the tomatoes that way also. So you want to count your tomatoes, and you want to get, so you start with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and eventually you get to 17. So you start off with many yechidim, and then the yechidim ultimately create, altogether I have 17 tomatoes. But let's say you start off with one, and you want to see how much there is in this one. So what do? First you say there's one, and then after you say there's one, then you start counting how many is included in this one, in this totality. So where's the remez to this in the Torah? It says about the Kisisas Rosh B'nai Yisrael, when you count the head of the Jewish people. So how many heads are there in the Jewish people? Lots. So why does it say Kisisas Rosh B'nai Yisrael? So the answer is, Kisisa, when you count Rosh, when you count the head, really there's only one, then eventually you'll get to the minion of B'nai Yisrael. You start out, there's one. There's one Am Yisrael, and then from the one Am Yisrael, now we're going to break it up into small parts and find how many people there are in Am Yisrael, but really we're one. So every Korban Tzibur, we're already at Tzibur, and we're bringing this communal sacrifice. But the Korban Pesach, since we're putting it, is different than all the other Korbanos. Why? Because of the Korban Pesach, we created the Tzibur. Because we weren't at Tzibur yet. We only started being at Tzibur when we left Egypt. Leaving Egypt, Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's what created us into a Tzibur. So, therefore, it says that this carbon is different than all the carbons. It's Babi Knufia, it comes and it creates the community. So since it creates the community, it's like a carbon Tzibur. One, it's not a carbon Tzibur. Everybody has to have their own carbon Pesach, that's the halacha, you have your own group. However, really, on some level, since it created the community of Klal Yisrael, this Korban Tzibur made us Klal Yisrael, so that really, we started off as one, so that's the Knufia, it gathered us together as one, and then afterwards we split off into individuals. So again, you see an interesting thing by Korban Pesach, that Korban Pesach really more than every other Korban expresses this idea that it's supposed to unite us, that when we're leaving Egypt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take us out as many distinct, disparate individuals, He took us out as one, and that's also why when they went down to Mitzrayim, what does it say? Shavim Nefesh. Why Shivim Nefesh? Or Shivim Nefeshes. But it's the same idea. When they went down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to know that we're going down as one. And that's really the source. What does it say about, we all began with Avram Avinu. It says about Avram Avinu, Ki Achara Ya Avraham. Avram is the Achara. Avram is the person who brings to Achdus. So his job was to unite, and that's really what he did. He tried to unite everybody under the banner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So also when we bring the Korban Tzibur is trying to unite everybody under the banner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's another halacha, that ein shochten es hakorb es haPesach. If you shech the korban Pesach, and somebody in the group, in the chabura, right, they call it a chabura, because obviously we want to have a group, that if somebody in the chabura has chametz, so then the shochet gets malchus. You're not allowed to shech the korban Pesach if somebody has, if you shech the korban Pesach al chametz, you're over on a lav lo sishchat al chametz tam zivchi. So if one person has chametz, you're over on a lav. So what's the obvious question? So let's say I'm a shochet, which wouldn't be good news. It says in Poskim that women shouldn't shecht because they faint when they see blood. I always know that when I teach boys and I mention blood, their eyes get big and they get excited. You know, I teach girls and I say, ew, ew. So therefore it says that girls shouldn't shecht because of ew, they'll faint. So I'm also a little bit on the ew side. But I'll call part of it, let's say I'm zochet to be the shochet. Shall I shecht the korban Pesach? And one guy in my group has a little bit of chametz in his house. You know the story of Rabbi Yitzchak Miberdichev, that he went before a Pesach, and then he started asking everybody, you know, do you have, they weren't allowed to bring in, various materials, they weren't allowed to bring in fabric, so he started asking Goyim if they have any hidden at home, and each guy said, yeah, I have a little bit hidden here, a little in there, and he went to the Jews, and now one person had a Karmel Chametz. So which Jews, Baruch Hashem, were there, and then he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Jews, look at how wonderful they are, they're so special, they're so careful about Chametz. So one guy in the group, we have a group of 10 people, and one guy has Chametz. Nothing to do with me. I don't know. I barely know him. I barely like him. I shechted the cup, and I'm over on the lav if he has chametz. So what's the idea behind that? The idea is achdus, that it's teaching you that if you're doing this, you're shechting the cup in Pesach, but if somebody else in your group has chametz, so you have chametz. Because that's the achdus. That's obviously really the idea of Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh V'Zeh, that if somebody else is doing an aveira, it's really you doing the aveira. But this is especially exhibited here by Korban Pesach, which is supposed to bring us to achdus. There's another interesting chazal. It says that almost 8 times Nasu Yisrael Kosef Achas b'Mitzrayim. It says in the Psikta de Rav Kahana, I think it's in Perek Yudalet. A number of these sources, by the way, were pointed out to me by Mori the Rabbi, the Tolna Rebbe. So it says, Omer Dover B'Shem Omer, maybe Gula Olam. You know the famous question about Omer Dover B'Shem Omer, maybe Gula Olam is? Who said it? Nobody ever says, who said Omer Dover B'Shem Omer, maybe Gula Olam? But somebody said it. So since he pointed out a number of these sources to me, I will be Omer Dover B'Shem Omer and hopefully bring Gula to the world. So it says in the Psikta de Rav Kahana, this one I didn't know. In my free time, I don't go. I should go through a Psikta de Rav Kahana, but I'm not so right-wing politically, so I don't know. Anyway, so it says, Rav Acha said in the name of Rabbi Yeshua Menlevi, almost 8 times the Jewish people became one shoulder, became Kasef Achas B'Mitzrayim. And what's the reason? What's the reason we became one shoulder? Now, does one shoulder mean we lent a helping shoulder? We all had unity? Because Paro said, Hava Nishak Malo. Paro said, let me outsmart him. And mitoch kach, kapat HaKadosh Baruch Hu galan. Because the Jewish people made one kasef, Hashem quickly went and redeemed the Jewish people. So, what's the raya from the pasuk? It says, Hava Nishak Ma Lo. What is lo? It says, Havan, it should say, Havan, Paro says to his advisors, Havan is chakma lahem. Because the Jewish people are many people, they're not one person. So what's Havan is chakma lo? Let's outsmart him. In other words, let's outsmart their unity. They have this oneness, they have this lo, they're kasev echad. So therefore, Paro wanted to destroy that. He wanted to create a lot of disunity in the Jewish people. And because the Jewish people didn't follow that, they had unity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was galus. So that was really the tikkun. The tikkun was that because we had this kasev achas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was galus. What's interesting? It's interesting when I was going through Pesachim before Pesach, I saw something, when I saw this, and then I remembered the Psikta de Rav Kahana, I started dancing on the table. So there's a Hasidic minhag to dance on the table. So the Gemara says that when they used to flay, they would skin their korban Pesach. So what would they do? You remember? They would put their hand on each other's shoulder, and they would hand the Pesach, and with their other hand, they would skin the korban Pesach. So you mamash see the idea, when they're doing the korban Pesach, they mamash put their hand on each other's shoulder in order to show this kasev echad, that we're all linking shoulders, and in that schus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us how to do the hafshatas habehema, how to skin the animal. But you also see the same idea that we're all becoming one. That's incidentally what it says in the Haggadah. It says, Vayirol osanu hamitzrim. Vayanunu. So it's Vayero Sanu. So the Svar Makadoshim point out, what would be correct Hebrew? It should say Vayero Lanu. What does it say Vayero Osanu Amitzrim? And what's the Vayero Osanu? What did they do that was so terrible to us? They said, Havan Ischak Malo. That Paro took counsel from his advisors, what should we do with the Jewish people? What's so terrible about that? So the answer is, and the lie they bring is Havan Ischak Malo. The Vayero Osanu doesn't mean that they did evil to us, then it would be Vayero Lanu. Vayero Osanu means they tried to make us evil. Vayero, Him Asu Otanu Laim, we would say in Hebrew. So that was that. That's what the power wanted to do. They wanted to, you know, make, like it says in the Pasuk, V'sichsachti Mitzrayim B'Mitzrayim, it says in the Navi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to make Mitzrayim fight with each other. That's what Mitzrayim wanted to do to Am Yisrael. He wanted everybody to be fighting with each other, and that's what it means in the Haggadah. It says, what's the Raya? The Raya isn't from the Pasuk of, throwing the babies in the river, or other horrible things that Paro did. The Raya is from Havan Ischak Malo, meaning that they wanted to outsmart us by Lo. They wanted to destroy our Lo, and that was Vayero Sanu. They tried to make us evil. How did they do that? First of all, they told the Nashim Ivrios to kill the babies, and then also they appointed Kapos. Right? It says that they made Shotrei B'nai Yisrael. And what do they tell these shelterim to do? To make sure that the Jews are doing their job. So what does power often do? It corrupts. So that's exactly what power wanted to do. Let's pit Jew against Jew. And then the policemen are going to hit the Jews. That's what the Nazis did. Right? The Nazis, Yamach Shema. But they were successful to some extent. They got Jews to become cool. And then they made Jews hate Jews. And that's what prevents the Gula. So when it says, let's destroy their law. Let's pit Jew against Jew. And then how are we misaking that? What does the pasuk say? Vayuku shotrei b'nei Yisrael, meaning that they took the blow. It says in Rashi the Jews didn't have enough bricks, and the Egyptian taskmasters called the Jewish kapos, and they said, "No, where are the bricks?" And they took the hit for the Jews. They were willing to take the blows. So that in fact was one of the schuyos of Am Yisrael, that we weren't against each other. We did have this achdus. So in that schus, like the Medrash says, mitocha kapitzalem v'galam. In that schus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was galus. So why I heard before Pesach, if anybody finds it, I'll be indebted to you, that it says that when we bring the korban Pesach, what are we supposed to dip in the blood? We're supposed to dip an aguda. What's the lashon of the pasuk? Agudas ezov utvaltem adam shebasaf. Well, we take this aguda and we dip it in, and then we sprinkle. So somebody said, I heard this in the name of the Yerushalmi. I just couldn't find the Yerushalmi. I looked it up in the there's a little parish told us Aaron in the Mikros Gedolos. I didn't find it there. But that aguda is a remez, even if it's not in Chazal. But it's still, why do they use dafka that lashon of aguda? It's telling us that that's the tikkun of the korban Pesach. The tikkun of the korban Pesach is the aguda. That if we're aguda achas, that if we're all united, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redeem us. And there's another interesting chazal. It says that you have to take a stam aguda. You can't take an aguda with a surname. You can't take an aguda Yevani, and you can't take an aguda Mitzri. You know, there are different types of these plants. You can only take one that's a stam aguda sezov. What's the idea? I think the idea is that the second you take, you know, different groups, so then again we're putting ourselves in categories. You know, you're laboring, you know, he's this type of Jew, and I'm that type of Jew. The Rebbe says, no, it's just one aguda. One aguda, and everybody's supposed to go under the banner of that aguda. Again, with no political implications. So that is the, that's the idea of aguda achas. So many years ago there was a rabbi named Rabbi Marcus Lehman, who was a German rabbi, and he wrote a Haggadah in German. So his German is very beautiful and very flowery, because back in the 1800s, all Jews were writing beautiful, flowery German. I don't know German. But what I do know is that when they translated his Haggadah, in 1967, they translated it into Hebrew, and they omitted one passage, because afterwards, a person who knew German read through the Haggadah, and he compared, and he saw that they omitted a passage. So this also I heard from Rabbi Bernstein. So what was the passage that they omitted? That he writes, Halayla hazeh kulo matzah. What is Halayla? What does the Laila always represent? We know from the Ramchal and other places that Laila is Galus. So what's the Galus? What's the reason for the Galus? Kulo Matzah. What does Matzah mean in the Gemara in Aramaic? To quarrel, to fight. That's why. Why is Matzah? It's a funny name for Matzah. That we eat Matzah, this holy food, and it means to quarrel. So the obvious answer is the whole family gets together on Pesach. So somebody's bound to fight with somebody else. No, but the Sfarim say something. The Sfarim say differently. But you have this matzah. Halayla zeh. Why are we in this long galus? Kulo. It's all because of matzah, and that's what they omitted from the Haggadah. So if you omit that, then we won't know why we're in the galus. But it's not only Rabbi Lehman saying it. It's, you know, many sources tell us that that's the reason for the galus, and the ultimate tikkun is that we have to have achdus. So we have to remember this, halayla hazeh kulo matzah, that it's because of the period, and then all the halachas that I expressed earlier are supposed to show you achdus. As a matter of fact, the Maharal has a long list. He shows a lot of things about the korban Pesach that show you this yisod of achdus. First of all, it's supposed to be eaten in one house, that everybody's together, so it's supposed to bring the, you know, obviously we mentioned that earlier, no mechitza, and everybody eats it. You know, it's a nifso biyotze. When you go out, it's pasul. Everyone has to stay together and eat their korban Pesach. Not only that, there's an interesting Rambam. The Rambam says when you roast the korban Pesach, you have to roast the whole thing together with the gira noshe. Now, normally we don't eat gira noshes, but usually there's a problem of bruyas, that if you roast it with the gira noshe, then the unkosher sciatic nerve of the animal is going to make the rest of the animal chafe. And the Rambam isn't bothered. Who is bothered? The Ravid. And the Ravid says to the Rambam, he says, I don't want to be impolite, but if I had such a korban Pesach, I would throw it right down in front of you. That's what he says. He says, Ayiti chov tova karka. You're telling me that you have to cook the entire korban Pesach with the unkosher gib? It can't be. But that's what the Rambam says. So we'll go along with the Rambam. Why do you have to roast the korban Pesach all as one? Because we're trying to show that this Pesach is supposed to bring us to Achdus. So we don't want to cut anything out, even the unkosher parts. Like one great Hasidic Rebbe of the last generation pointed out that the Russia, the son who's a Russia, might be, I always note that the fourth son is very interesting. One of them you know his name, one of them you know where he's from, and the other two you don't know his name or where he's from. Because one's from Russia, one's name is Tom, and the other two you don't know where they're from or what their name is. So you have Russia. You have this Russia. So Baruch Hashem, the Russia's at the Seder table. So at least he's there, and he's talking to you, he's listening, he's eating something. So the rush is there. So you have this gira nashe. So the gira nashe isn't so gishmak, but you want to show the achdus, and that's really what tzibur stands for. What's the rush of tevis of tzibur? Tzadikim beinonim and rishayim. Right? Tzibur tzadikim beinonim u rishayim. So that's the tzibur. It's incidentally, it's also interesting in Rashi. Rashi says that when you have this aguda, it has to be three. It has to be three branches and not five. So thinking, what's the significant Rashi? If Rashi tells us there's something significant there. So thinking, it could be that it's the tzibur, that it represents the tzibur, that it's composed of all three. Obviously, we want to make the Rishayim into a little bit less of Rishayim. So it could be that that represents Tzadik ben Aram Rishayim, and it could also be that we know there's Kohanim Levim and Yisraelim. So that represents, these three represent all three parts of Klal Yisrael, and we want to bring everybody together. And the Chazal say, Ein Kli Machzik Bracha Ela Shalom. That the Kli that holds the Bracha is Shalom. So who has to have Shalom? It's this Kli, is this Kohanim Levim and Yisraelim, the Reshei Tevis. So he says that the Maral says that the Korban Tzibur isn't mechulak. It's not cut up into pieces. It's one whole korban. And the reason it's not cut is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show us that we have to be one. Not only that, Chazal say, why a seh? Why dafka a seh, not another animal? So Chazal say that a seh is special. Because a seh, when one limb gets hit, the entire animal feels it. So too Klal Yisrael. When one Jew is hurt, the entire world feels it. And you see that all the time. You ever see like something happen in, you know, who knows, in some, in Scandinavia. You know, in Scandinavia, you know, there was an attack and a goy was killed. Can you imagine like all the goyim getting up, you know, and saying, oh, there's an outrage. A goy was killed. You know, all the goyim, you know, all 6 billion of them getting together and say, this is something terrible, a goy was killed. But you see, that's exactly what happened. When somebody starts up with one Jew, it doesn't matter where the Jew is, a Jew in Spain, a Jew in France, a Jew, it could be wherever, anywhere in the world, and all of a sudden all the Jews, you know, wake up and say, a Jew, something happened to a Jew. So that, that's the way Jews feel about each other, and that's what the Korban Pesach is supposed to teach us, that when one Jew is feeling a little bit of pain, all of the Jews have to feel that pain. Another thing the Maral points out is that it couldn't be more than a year old. Why not more than a year old? Because a year is achdus, it's one. But if the animal's more than one, then there's no more achdus. So again, everything we're saying, the Korban Pesach, we internalize it, the Korban Pesach is supposed to bring us to this achdus. Not only that, he says about Sli'esh, that this Korban Pesach is roasted. So what happens when you cook? When you cook, things are spread out. And when you roast, what's supposed to happen is the meat is supposed to consolidate. And the gravy goes out and the meat goes in. So the Maral says that the reason it's supposed to be that way is because, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to show us that we have to come together just like the Tzli. So that's as far as the Korban Pesach. But more in general, the Gemara says in the Seches Megillah that we have to have, we have Purim, when we have two Adars, we do the second Adar. Why? That's the way we paskin. Why do we do the second and not the first? Because mismach geula legeula. That we're supposed to be masmich the two geulas together. So it's actually interesting in Rashi. Rashi says, Mishenichnas Adar, Marvin Besimcha. So what does everybody think? Everybody think, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the party's over. Even though it's interesting that because Nisan is the time of Nisim, so we don't say Tachnan, because we're so happy. But I say it's fakert. Because we don't say Tachanun, we're happy. It's not because we're happy, we don't say Tachanun. So many Jews, because they're not saying Tachanun, it gets us into the holiday spirit. I'm not saying it should be this way. It's more descriptive than prescriptive. So, we don't say Tachanun. Why don't we say Tachanun? Because we're so happy. So that's in the Rashi there, it says, Mishenichnas Adar Marvi B'Simcha, is Adar and Nisan. So you have to be happy. I always tell people when we're at the end of Shabbat, say you want to be depressed, you want to be forlorn. What's forlorn? Two lorn plus two lorn, right? Sorry, it's a terrible one. You want to be depressed? You have until the end of Shabbat. Beginning of Adar, you have to be besimcha. They say in the name of the Vilna Gaon what the hardest mitzvah in the whole Torah is. What did the Vilna Gaon say? He said Pesach. Why? Or any chag? Because you have to be happy, manage besimcha 24 hours a day for 7 straight days. In Chutz La'aretz, it's even harder. A, you're in Chutz La'aretz, it's hard to be happy b'chalal. And what does the Orach Chaim HaKadosh say at the beginning of Parshas Kisavo? B'haya Kisavo al Haaretz. Ein v'haya alashon simcha ke'ein she'ein simcha ki yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. So if you're in Eretz Yisrael, that's definitely a school for simcha. So when you're in Chutz La'aretz, you have 8 days, in Chutz La'aretz you have to be happy. And when you're in Eretz Yisrael, you have 7 days, midoraisa. Every second of 7 days, of the 7 days, you have to be happy, which is not a simple task. You know, you want to take a second. Most mitzvahs, you do it in your yotzei. You made your kiddush, you did havdalah, but simcha is every second. So Chazal say that you have to be happy, not mitzvah, but according to Chazal, Nisan, Adar and Nisan, because of the great Nisan that happened to us. So so we see already a connection between mismach gula gula adif, that we want it to be an Adar Sheni, so that it's juxtaposed to Nisan. That's why we have Purim and Adar Sheni. And that Mishenichmas, we want to be happy in both. So you see that there's a connection between Purim and Pesach. So So what's one of the themes that runs through Purim as well? We know the theme of Achdus. Right, what did Haman say to Ahasuerus? Sorry, every time I say Haman, I feel like I have to bang. What did Haman say to Ahasuerus? Yeshno, Am Echad, Mefuzo, Mefura, Bein Amim. So he said there's a nation, they're all spread, scattered around. And as he's telling Ahasuerus, or he's telling us, because the Haman isn't reading it, but it's telling us that the reason we're in this galus, the reason we're in this predicament, is what happened when we got out of it? I guess it was a post-dicament. Before it was a predicament? I don't know. Anyway, so we're in this predicament. Why? Because Yeshno Anechon Mefuzer Meforad. We're all scattered around. So what did Esther say to do? What was the tikkun of Esther? Leich? Kenosis Kol HaYehudim. So that's what all the Svarim are filled with. That's the idea of Purim, is Leich Kenosis Kol HaYehudim. It's interesting that before, that on Purim we have the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, which we know is supposed to bring to Achdus. And then for all the Chagim, we're always supposed to give to an Ani before the Chag. But here there's a special din of Mo'os Chitim before Pesach. So I was thinking maybe the Mo'os Chitim are similar to the Mishloach Manos. Also making sure to bring to the Achdus before Pesach, making sure that the Jews have enough to eat. There's a famous story about Naftali Repchitzer. He went to shul one Shabbos Haggadol, and he gave his drasha. So he came on, he told people, you know, it's Mo'os Chitim, you have to give money to the Aniyim before the Chag. So he came home and his wife asked him, no, were you Matzliach? He said, I was 50% Matzliach. 50%? He said, yeah. He said, I convinced the Aniyim to receive. Now all I have to do is convince the Ashirim to give. So we have this mitzvah of Mo'os Chitim. So when you give Mo'os Chitim before Pesach, the idea is that it's supposed to bring this unity to the Jewish people. I'm making sure I can't sit to my Pesach Seder and enjoy it if my friend doesn't have food at his table. So therefore, I give him food beforehand. Not only that, we know that there's a mitzvah of on Purim of Adelo Yoda. So on one hand, Pesach is the man Yedu Dolo Seichem. I mean, that's I'm getting my holidays mixed up. But Baal Paro nearby as well. V'yedu ki ani Hashem. It says about Baal Paro, ki niach Paro, sleep up, slave Abadav, etc. And they should know. So I'm not saying on Pesach you're supposed to go to Adelo Yoda. But I actually remember my first, my second Pesach, and I don't handle my wine so much. So when you have one coast, and some people are machmer dafkad have wine, and another coast, and another coast, and another coast, so me already it makes a little tipsy. And I remember I had a baby daughter at the time, and I was like throwing her up and catching her. And afterwards I was thinking what an idiot I am, throwing up a little baby into the air when I'm tipsy. But who's thinking when he's tipsy? Anyway, what's the idea? You drink enough wine, so it makes you a little bit happy. So on Purim, just like on Purim, we drink, and it brings us to the state of Simcha, so too on Pesach we have our Arba Kosos, which Chazal say are connected to the Arba Kosos of Paro. Also, it's connected to both of Paro and Arba Kosos of Geula. But what also it does is the famous Chazal Gedola Megima Shemekarevus Halavavos. That when two people sit and they drink together, it's supposed to be Makarev the Lev. So it could be that on Pesach Chazal also want, in addition to the Derech Eres, and that's really freedom, right? Freedom is the freedom. Usually, what do they do when they put somebody in jail? The worst punishment in jail is to be in solitary confinement. So the whole idea of freedom is that you're able to connect to other people. So Chazal wanted that on Pesach we should sit at the table and we should have Arba Kosos Yayin in order that we should have Gedol Legima Shemekarev and Salavavus. Now then I was also thinking maybe that's who it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't send anybody else to redeem the Jewish people. Lo Ayedei Malach, Lo Ayedei Seraf, Lo Ayedei Shaliach, El HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chvodo Ba'atzmo. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chvodo Ba'atzmo is where we're asked. Obviously it's a Havamina that you should send somebody else. So the answer is that if the Jewish people have Achdus, then that brings down the Achdus Hashem, because that's what Chazal teaches us, that we're Am Yisrael is supposed to express Hashem's oneness. When we're not one, it says in Chazal, Atem Eidai, it says in the Pasuk, Atem Eidai Vanikel, you are my witnesses, and I am Hashem. Yes, so Chazal say, Im Atem Eidai, if you're my witnesses, that I'm Hashem, then Anikel, then I'm in fact Hashem. Vimein Atem Eidai, so I don't want to finish. But that's what Chazal say. So it's really our job in the world to proclaim that Hashem is one. And the way we proclaim that Hashem is one is by showing that we're one. Because that's the source of our oneness is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if we show that we're different parts and we're not connected to the other guy, since we're all rooted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so essentially that's a little bit of duality then, or multiplicity. That we're saying there's, you know, this part of Hashem which isn't connected to another part of Hashem, which isn't connected to another part of Hashem. And that's why it's so important to really be able to look at the other Jews and they're really able to see one. That's what Pesach, which is the beginning, which is the first Chag, which is connected to Avraham Avinu, it's supposed to connect us to that. It's supposed to connect it to this idea that just like we're in the schus of our being one, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show his oneness. Actually, there's a Chidah. I also heard this from the Tolner Rebbe Shlita. There's a Chidah who quotes a Medrash, which we don't have, who says that When a chatan and kala get married, it says, we know that under the chuppah, most of the brachas we make are like about the building of Yerushalayim. So what's the idea behind that? So the Medrash says, brought by the Chida, that when two people get married and they have achdus, so the Shechina sholeh. Because when there's achdus, the Shechina sholeh. So if you have one couple that has the Shechina, and another couple that has the Shechina, and another couple that has the Shechina, and you have so many couples that have the Shechina, there's so much Shechina already down on earth. So Hashem says, you know, Rubo Kakulo, there's already so much of my presence on earth, so I'll just build the whole thing. And that's why the Pasuk already stresses, it keeps saying, bias, 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 vimiyota, bias, miyos, misa. So it talks about the bias. Not only that, it says in the Pasuk already, it says, v'lagachu shcheino akarov eilav. So why shcheino? So chazal amadayik, that it's dafka, you have to start with your neighbors. It's easy to love, you know, I hear there's some Jew in Texas, you know, it's easy to love him, he doesn't get on my nerves. But the real test is the bias, the people in the house, and the shcheinim. And Chazal said that I always tell my family that, you know, we have to, the first thing before we're friends with anybody else in the neighborhood, you have to be friends with the neighbors. Because Chazal tells that dafka tov, shachin karov me'al chalachok, that you dafka have to choose the neighbors. And Moreover Rabbi Shlita said in the name of one of the Gedolei Ador, I don't remember which, it might have been the Chabino Rav, who said that he thinks that one of the ma'akvim in the geula is that people don't know their neighbors. You know, a person has a neighbor, and on this neighbor, it's Baruch Hashem, it seems very close-knit, but you go to like a big town, you know, you have a building. Yeah, I remember when I grew up in Manhattan. So we had approximately, I didn't count, but the doorman said, 273 families in the building. Just in the building. We had this massive building on 72nd Street, it goes all the way across, and you have five different elevators, and each one is, you know, 20, 30, 40 flights, and then in each floor there's a few families. So I remember growing up, I mamish did it. I knew the people mamish right across from me because they were Israeli, of course. What else? But the people upstairs from me, one flight, and downstairs from me, one. I didn't even know them. I didn't even know their names. Sometimes, you know, you're in the elevator with them. You sort of have, it's a little nippy out there. You know, the discussions were always about the weather. Like one famous guy said, you know, so many people talk about the weather, nobody ever does anything about it. Anyway, so you don't even know your neighbors. So if you're in Manhattan, sometimes maybe it's better not to know your neighbors. But if you're in Eretz Yisrael and your neighbors are all Jewish, so, you know, I always look at my children, I always say to myself, who do you love more than anybody else in the world? So my answer is, of course, my children. That's why we're going to give them a big Yerusha. Right now, we're up to 73 cents in the piggy bank. So my children. Then I say to myself, self, what about the Ribbono Shel Olam? Does the Ribbono Shel Olam love your children more? No. I think he loves my children just as much as he loves my neighbor's children. My children are cuter. No, Dafka, my neighbor's wife thinks her children are cuter. But the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't judge on cuteness. The Ribbono Shel Olam judges based on the emes. And the emes is that he loves all Jews. And maybe somebody's a better, you know, I don't know, Dafka, maybe I should love my neighbor's children more. Maybe he's a bigger tzaddik than my child. Who knows? But one thing is clear, that just because it's my child, doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves him more than any other child in the world. So therefore, when you see somebody else's child, it's easy. Love your children's natural. You know, the Torah is always trying to get us to go above our nature. So sometimes we go with our nature, and that's a vada. I don't have to get up in Moshav Matidyo and tell Tyler Yidden to love their children. I don't have to. But to just walk around and be able to look at somebody else's child and say, this is also my child, because it's Hashem's child, and I'm one with this child. And so it doesn't have to be related. Just, you know, a person starts, I'm not Chas Shalom giving Musra, I'm not to give Musra, I'm just saying an idea, and everyone takes it for what they want to take it. I'm not in any way. But that's what Moreover Rabbi said, to be able to look at somebody else's neighbor, and really be able to love the other person's child just as much as your own child, and then you're in another neighborhood, and you're just this strange neighborhood, and you don't know anybody, and really to be able to, everybody you see in this neighborhood, I love this, but you walk down the street, first of all, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, of ahavta ve'recha kamocha, but just to look at it from the way Hashem sees it, this achdus, is that we're really all one. So this is part of me, and this is part of me. And it's a well-known idea, but you know, you don't always see it expressed. You know, since you walk into a strange shul. So what do? You sit down in a chair, and after 2 minutes, you get a welcome. What's the welcome? Somebody taps you on your shoulder. Slichata b'makom sheli. Right? So you get up, and I heard many years ago, some time ago from Rav Zweig from Florida, he said that it says in the Gemara that Gedola hachnasas orchim yoser me'akbalas p'nei hashchina. The greater is hachnasas orchim than receiving Hashem. So he said, what's the nafkamina la'halacha? What halacha is there here? So he says, halacha l'maisei paskin, that if you go to shul, and somebody's sitting in your seat, you shouldn't ask him to get up, even if it's your makom kavua. Why? Because hachnasas orchim is greater than receiving the shechina. So davening in your makom kavua is the shechina. But hachnasas orchim, accepting somebody else into your seat, is even greater. So he says, you shouldn't. You go, shalichata b'makom sheli, atah b'makom sheli. So somebody recently came, and this I was in shul this Shabbos, I don't have a makam, unfortunately, I don't have, because I haven't, the rov, my makam kavua is the kotel, I guess, the big makam kavua. But I went into shul, and somebody said to me, I saw the guy getting nervous about where I was sitting. So I've known this guy for many years. I said, where are you sitting? I said, wherever you're not sitting, you can just have, because I know people are very connected to their places, wherever you want. So he goes, well, this has been my makam for 20 years, and that's been my makam for 7. 27 altogether. I said, okay. So then I moved away. Then I thought he wanted a space, so then I moved 2 rows up. So then he came back to me, said, no, I want you to sit. I guess he wanted to invite me, Achnasas Orchim. But the best thing to do is you see somebody else, you say, listen, you know, this might be my makam for 27 years, but I'm happy to give it to you for the next 27. To be able to walk around and try to show everybody, somebody walks into shul, and you give them a shalom aleichem, and you make somebody feel good. So that's this idea of achdus, that has to be not just an idea, but it has to be something very practical. And that's really, it says about Avram Avinu, that Pesach is connected to Avram Avinu. It's interesting, when the Orchim came, what did he serve them? Lushi Basi Ugos? What does Rashi say? The matzah. And he was telling them, Lushi Basi Ugos were matzahs. What's the idea of matzah? So you see that Avram Avinu was doing his chesed with matzah, and not only that, but as he was doing it, Chazal say that the blood of his bris milah was dripping. That's what Chazal say. So Rav Huttner has an article about this also in the Pachad Yitzchak, and he says that Chazal are connecting the brisos. There's the bris of chesed, and that's the bris of Avram Avinu, together with his bris milah, which is connected to Pesach, because he's making them the matzahs. The bris milah is dripping, and by the way, how's Avram Avinu doing everything in the parasha? He's, you know, 99 years old. He just had very delicate surgery. Yes? And how's he doing everything? Beritza, Vayimahar, Vayolitz. He's running here, he's running there, which reminds us of the Zrizus of Pesach. Right? Bechipazen Yatzanu Mimitzrayim. How's the Rambam have it in his Agada? Bebehilu Yatzanu Mimitzrayim. Everything was quick. Pesach, Pesach Dik, Pesach Dik. So he tells his wife, Lushi Vasi Ugos. And the blood is dripping. So I think whenever there's a bris milah, like what bris are we being machnis him into? So we're being machnis him into the bris of chesed, like it says in Ksubis, that achenu gom lechasadim, b'nei gom lechasadim, hamachzikim b'vriso shal Avram Avinu. So Avram Avinu, which is Pesach, is the chag of, Pesach is the chag of Avram Avinu, which is the chag of chesed, which is the chag of achdus. So I want to give all of my sweet friends here who were mezakeh me in the great schus of coming to Moshe Matisyahu to speak, that we should be zochem mir tashem, really to feel leapshaft, to feel ava to every single Jew, no matter what he looks like, no matter where he's from, no matter what he acts like, just to really feel me'omek halev, to know in the pnimius that he's the son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in that schus, we should be zochem to the gula hashleima, v'meher v'yameinu, amen.